This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Bob Fitzgerald's going to join us in less than 15 minutes. Steve Kerr's going to join us in less than an hour. And largely, this is what we started out the day talking about, which was the very sort of uninspiring tone that Steve Kerr used when asked after practice yesterday about how to pair Kuminga with Jimmy Butler when Jonathan is ready to return, because that is getting close.
I think, the obvious question is the spacing, because neither one of them is a five. They're we're really looking at them as a three and a four. And can we space the floor well enough with the two of them on the court together? We should be able to defend at a high level. It'd be great to have that kind of size and athleticism on the wings. There's a lot to like. And then we just have to sort through the offensive execution. Can we put a group around them that makes sense, that we can kind of rely on a two-way offense and defense dynamic, and that remains to be seen.
Okay, so both of us just keep laughing because it's there's nothing wrong with the answer, but I just, and like, we'll be honest with Steve when he comes on, honestly, like, it's just, you listen to it and I'm like, it just doesn't inspire a lot of confidence.
It sounds like he's thinking about it for the first time. And I know he's not, because he's had Jimmy Butler now for almost 2 weeks and he knows Kuminga's coming back. And so I'm sure he thought a lot about it, but it just, the way he's answering it makes it seem like he's answering it on the fly. Like, I hadn't even thought about it. So let me think. Well, neither one of them's not a five, and spacing is a big thing. And so, it's yet to be seen.
Yeah. Like, that's the worst phrase that you want to hear right now. Like, I don't want to hear "it remains to be seen," even though it is an omnipresent truth.
Right.
It always remains to be seen. Always. So when you end with that, it's kind of a punt. It's kind of a punt, is what it felt like and sounded like. And you're right. Of course he's thought about it. Of course they're running every single permutation and predictive aspect of this. Obviously, that's what they do. They're the Golden State Warriors, and they're not bleeping around. That's certainly not how I feel. But when you listen to him, I do think there's a healthy bit of like, look, this isn't just two good players and so poof. It's not that. And I know with the Warriors situation, by the time Jonathan gets back and there's 24 or 25 games left, that's what we're going to call for. I think a lot of our callers today have sounded like that. Jonathan's good. Put him in. I wish it worked that way. And I don't think it does, and it sounds to me like Steve doesn't think it does.
It doesn't work that way, and that goes back to my point about Milwaukee and Kuzma and your point before about Luka and the Lakers. It just doesn't automatically work like fantasy basketball. You've got a great player playing alongside another great player, so now you're going to be super great because you got two of the 10 best players in the league together, so now you're going to be just amazing because that's the way it works, and it's not the way it works. Like in your fantasy football team, when you have two great running backs who are on two different teams, they can both be awesome for your team. They're not playing on the same football team. And now Jimmy Butler joins a team that plays a certain way, so he has to adapt to that. And Kuminga hasn't played with him. And when he comes back, he now has to adapt to that. And when Jonathan was here, when he was healthy,
yeah,
and Jimmy wasn't here, a lot of Jonathan's job was go out there and get it. Go get buckets. You'll be out there when Steph isn't. We don't have a lot else around you. So when you're out there, go 100 miles an hour, get to the hoop, get to the line, get you yours. And now, when he plays with Jimmy Butler, that's not going to be your role anymore.
No.
Your role is going to be get you yours, but
all right,
but Jimmy, but Steph. And so you're asking Jonathan at 22, and Steiny made this point earlier, and I think he's right. You're asking a 22-year-old without a ton of basketball experience to now go from, it's you, it's your time, go get it, and now you're going to ask him to pick your spots.
Pick your spots, but oh, by the way, tick-tock, contract negotiations are coming.
Right, yeah. You're right, because before Jimmy, it was go do your thing,
yep,
and contract is coming, so go do your thing.
Yep.
And now it's contract is coming, go do your thing, but pick your spots.
Pick your spots. Joe Lacob loves you, so don't worry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're going to take care of you.
Don't worry.
We got you.
It'll be fine if you only score 9 tonight.
If you only play 17 minutes and get 5 shots.
It's complex, man.
Very.
It really is. This is touchy, and I'm not saying they
can't. And not touchy-feely.
No, I'm not saying they can't figure it out. I think they will. I'm not saying that, you know, there's a problem brewing. I just think that Jonathan's assignment here and Steve Kerr's assignment here is complex. And here's something I probably shouldn't say because I know how sports media works, and so someone's going to rip me for this. But that's
fine. Make sure you tweet this, Lucas.
Yeah, this is the thing that's going to be hard. What Jonathan Kuminga was tasked to do before, as you just said, was a very physical assignment. It's like being on that old game show Double Dare and taking the physical challenge. Sorry, Granny and Lucas have no clue what I just said.
It was a Nickelodeon show.
Yeah, anyway.
Used to be a network.
You don't have to shrug your shoulders at me, Lucas. I said, I know you don't get what
we
I just
know
said.
Know Nickelodeon.
But do you know Double Dare?
No.
And do you know what the physical challenge is?
No.
Okay, so just nod. You don't get, I threw it over your head on purpose, okay? It's like third down, throw it away, keep the field goal intact. We're going to kick the 3, and then we're going to kick off and try to live another day. All right, Lucas?
That's great. I actually love Double Dare.
You know what the physical challenge is?
Of course.
All right, perfect. You're a throwback.
The greatest obstacle course in television history,
tremendous.
Right. Outside of Legends of the Hidden Temple, maybe.
Show Grandy what the Double Dare
is. American Gladiators is on the phone, but go ahead.
Fair.
That's definitely ahead of your time.
I watched it.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, it was a physical challenge. Go out there. Do you. We want you to be aggressive. Get to the line. Well, now what Jonathan is going to be asked to do is much more of a mental challenge. And they're going to ask a 22-year-old who has, at times, struggled with this on and off in his career. And it's this. Play heady basketball. You are now playing with multiple NBA royalty people on the floor at the same time. People who have achieved the idea of being an NBA one. And there's multiple, and they're all healthy. And now Draymond's going to move to the 5, where he's kind of brilliant on defense. This has always been the thing with Jonathan. No one questions his leaping ability, his focus, his talent. What they do question sometimes is, are you in the right spot at the right time, especially on the defensive side of the ball? We had an assistant coach, I think Ron Adams, came on earlier in the year and said when Jonathan started to really score in this league, and we've watched this with players, that's when he was like, I don't need to play defense anymore. You're really going to have to, if this is going to work, you're going to have to know exactly what you're supposed to be doing on both sides of the ball all the time. And the question will be, is Jonathan at a point in his career, with the amount of minutes he's now played this year, where he's ready to do that? And I don't know. I don't know. Are you consistently ready to be making the right decision? Not just execute the drive, but the right decision almost all the time. I think that's the question that faces the Warriors.
And it's a challenge because you've had him play a certain way the majority of the year, which is not that he hasn't had to be heady and smart, and I do think that he's developed a lot of that over the course of his four-year career, but now when you've got another option who's going to be ahead of you on the pecking order, and this is where playing with Andrew Wiggins is kind of a luxury for a younger player like Jonathan Kuminga, because Andrew Wiggins was never going to be domineering or ball dominant or a guy who's going to take up some of your touches and some of your shine, but Jimmy Butler's going to be that guy. Jimmy Butler is somebody who likes to have the ball in his hands. He likes to create. He does a lot of the things that Jonathan does. He gets in the paint. He gets to the foul line. He tries to attack and go downhill. So if you're Kuminga, there'll be possessions where he's just going to be relegated to the wing or the corner, and that's not what he does best.
Right.
If Jimmy Butler's got it and Jimmy's trying to cook and do his thing, then Kuminga suddenly becomes a non-factor.
Fitz about to join us.
Okay.
Okay. What's up, Lucas?
You ever watch the show Guts from that time?
No.
Oh, that was the best one. Check that one out in the commercial break.
What is going on here?
At the end of it, you had to climb a big mountain called the Aggro Crag.
Man, you...
I watched Guts, yep.
You watched Guts?
Yeah, it was right...
I played Guts. It was a card game.
Different.
Yeah, different.
This was the best show of the Nickelodeon era, in my humble opinion.
All right. I didn't do Nickelodeon a lot. Just did Double Dare.
This is a golden era.
Yeah.
Golden age.
Apparently. I'm impressed by you right now.
Thank you.
Doesn't happen often. Sponsored by Ceramani Ford. Head down to Ceramani Ford to lease a 2024 Mustang Mach-E Select or 2024 Ford Lightning and receive the Ford Power Promise that includes standard home installation of a Ford charge station located right off 280 in Colma, Daly City. Ceramani Ford, your San Francisco EV dealer. Here comes Bob Fitzgerald joining us next on Withered and Dibs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
It's a great question.
Wow, that's a great question.
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
We'll try to ask more. Dibs, you already got one from Brew earlier today.
Big, big.
Steve Kerr joins us in 41 minutes. And we can't wait to...
Well, that's a great question.
Yeah, can't wait to ask Steve some more questions. But we've got questions first for our good friend right now on the River Islands guest line, Bob Fitzgerald. Hey, Fitz, how's the break treating you?
Well, why would you guys waste your time with me when you have Steve Kerr coming up?
Because we've got...
Where am I going to add anything? Come on.
Yeah, because he's not coming on for 41 minutes, so for what...
Oh, okay.
Until then, you can make the Warrior fan base think whatever they want.
There you go.
All yeah. Right.
I'll lead him in one direction, and then Steve will lead him to reality later.
All right, so championship or bust, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm in. Let's do it.
Well, let me ask you this, Bob. You know Draymond Green very well. To what level do you think he believes the things that he has said?
Well, put it this way. I mean, in 2022, you can watch a post-game interview in the middle of the season when the Warriors were kind of floating along, and he said, we're going to win the championship. And I kind of went, we're going to win the championship? And we did. So I think it was a game after Utah or something like that. And just so no, I would never tell Draymond he's wrong. And if you don't believe that you're going to be a good team, you don't believe you're going to have a good end of the season, you know, I don't see most real competitive people saying that out loud. So Draymond's like, hey, you got me, you got Jimmy Butler, you got Steph, you got Kuminga coming back. You know, and they've beaten Boston, and they've beaten, you know, quality teams. So they've beaten Oklahoma City twice. They've beaten Minnesota 3 out of 4. They've beaten Houston 3 out of 4. Like, they're like, all right, we're going to see one of these teams in the playoffs. So let's see how it works out.
You mentioned Kuminga coming back, Bob, and Mark and I have been playing the sound from Steve trying to explain just how it might fit and how it might work. When you think about JK coming back here in the next week or so, how is the fit going to be with Jimmy Butler now on this team?
I don't think it's going to change that much, because the thing you had, Dibs, was you had Kuminga coming off the bench playing starters minutes at 30 minutes a game. And so I would anticipate that he probably has that same role. And the role for him is he's the best transition scorer on the team. He can get downhill and get fouled, which Butler has already started to do, but it would add a second guy to do that. Maybe a couple more lobs, to be honest, because Butler's such a good passer, and they even had a lob sequence for Butler with his first Warrior basket, which I'd like to see that play run for Kuminga, you know, a bunch more. So just when you get Steve on, say Bob from the Peninsula would like a backdoor lob series for Kuminga at least once a game.
Okay.
And just throw that out there and see what Steve says.
Let's go to Bob in the Peninsula with what's your take, Bob?
Yeah, exactly. He wants a backdoor lob sequence.
Okay.
For Kuminga.
All right, we'll check it out. Hey, Bob, what about this? That's all X's and O's stuff, and there's a lot there for sure. But through your view and being around the team, how has the acquisition of Jimmy changed just the way they all feel in the locker room?
Well, it gives you a third alpha, and it gives you a guy who's different than Steph and different than Draymond. And it also, in a long season, it's an injection or an infusion of something different. You know, now it didn't change the Dallas game. You know, the Warriors won 3 out of 4, but, you know, they didn't close in Dallas, and you know, earlier on that trip they had blown an 11-point lead in the final 3 minutes against Utah. I mean, that's Monty Poole wrote a great piece today basically just saying if you have the Warriors win 4 or 5 games that they absolutely should have won, we wouldn't be talking about this nail biter 8-9-10 type of setup. I mean, that's the frustrating thing is I looked at the Lakers last night and they lost to Charlotte and I was like, good, the Lakers finally lost a game they should have won. Now you can feel what the Warriors feel about 6 of the opportunities that they've squandered, and that's why they're hanging there a game over 500. So it's not that this team isn't capable of winning games. It's just, man, if they kick some that are going to really hurt at the end of the year when you start stacking up the total number of wins as crowded as the West is.
Yeah, they kicked a few. They also stole a couple, in my opinion, and that's where things do kind of level out. But you look
I'm going to totally disagree with that. Blowing an 18-point lead to the Nets, shooting with 11 seconds left in a 3-second difference, and losing 91-90 to Houston, losing an 11-point lead to a depleted Utah team in 3 minutes. Like, these should not have been losses. And the steals, you'd have to line them up for me because
going to Boston and winning is, to me, it's kind of it's found money when you beat the defending champs. Yeah.
That wasn't close. That wasn't a stolen game. The Warriors dominated the fourth quarter and owned it.
They haven't had
teams like just, you know, step on their, you know, their 2 feet and trip over and give the Warriors a win. They haven't had too many of those. So, I mean, it's one of those where their record's 28-27. They should have 4 or 5 more wins with no stretch whatsoever.
And sadly,
it's nobody's fault but their own, by the way. It's their own fault.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and unfortunately, you are what your record says you are, no matter whether or not you kick some away.
That's why people are like, you know, and Mark just asked it, like, how are they different with Butler and this and that? It's like, well, let's see the final 27 games, because they're playing Charlotte twice. they should win both of those games. If they have a 15-point lead to Charlotte on Tuesday and lose it in the fourth quarter, then having Jimmy Butler won't be different. So that's the kind of thing where you have 27 games. The days of, like, hitting your driver out of bounds, you know, on these holes that you should be birdieing, those days are over right now. You know, they caught a break today because Wembanyama's out for the season. So you only have to beat one team. There's 11 teams for 10 spots right now in the West. But do you want to be in the 9-10 game? Do you want to be in the 7-8 game, which is politely where they're pegged? Or do you want to really go, you know, 19 and whatever or 20 and 7 and finish the year and be in the top six? It's totally up to them as to what they're going to do, you know, given their schedule. And because the five or six that you kicked away that you should have, they're going to come back and haunt you unless you do something different in these last couple months.
Bob Fitz with us here, Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. So, Fitz, then along those lines of what you're talking about, go back to Houston a week ago tonight, and when you see them starting to sort of spit another game, but they hold it off, does that give you optimism or does it give you PTSD?
No, that Houston game was very weird in that, and Steve had alluded to it gently, but, you know, he behind the scenes probably more stern. There's no way you should be playing a game at 8:45 at night and then teeing up another one 13 hours later. I mean, the schedule on that was completely stupid. That was an insult to professional athletes to make them do that. And so the fact that they just ran out of gas, they had nothing left. It was the end of a six-game trip. It's the last day before the All-Star break. You're playing 13 hours later than you just finished a game. I mean, that just, it makes no sense. And so what Ime Udoka did, what was pretty amazing, is he played four guys out of his finishing five that did not play the night before. And they're the ones that led the big comeback. And then he sat Şengün and other guys and just said, hey, these fresh guys are leading the whole comeback. I'm going to let them ride it out. And the Warriors had just enough, a Draymond 3, a Steph 3, you know, a Butler kind of get fouled, hit a couple of free throws. They had just enough to get over the finish line. So that game was not, you know, I was really impressed that all the Hall of Famers played on the back-to-back. It's a game they had to have because they kicked the Dallas game. But to me, That game is probably going to be like unlike any other game they see the rest of the season, except for at Lakers, come home against Denver later in the year after a 14-day road trip. They're playing at the Lakers on national TV and then home against Denver on the next night, which is okay. What are we doing here? That makes no sense whatsoever in any world.
Well, it's the tax of being popular and having the chef because you have so many of these games. And I'm also looking, Fitz, where you're at Phoenix on a Tuesday and then you're home to San Antonio the next day. So that's another one of those
back-to-backs. Yeah, but that's at least you pick up an hour and that's a shorter flight. You're not gone for 14 days
and
then playing the Lakers and then playing Denver at home. I mean, the thing I would say about the schedule, and after 32 years of, you know, witnessing it, you tell me why there's 30 teams in the NBA, and for two seasons now, one team has not played a road baseball series. One team. Huh, I wonder which team that is. You know, why are the Clippers playing five baseball series in 2 years, or Sacramento playing five, or Minnesota playing five, going to Houston one time, or Memphis one time, OKC one time? Why are the Warriors the only team out of 30 teams that doesn't have a single baseball series? And I thought we had AI and everything. I thought we had computers and all this stuff. So, like, I just think the schedule that they have stuck the Warriors with the last couple of years is ridiculous.
What do you mean by baseball series, Bob? I'm not understanding the reference.
You go to Houston and you play them Thursday and you play them Friday.
I got you.
Yep.
I just eliminated back and forth to Houston, Texas, or back and forth to Memphis, or back and forth to Minnesota, or back and forth to Oklahoma City. That's not, you know, 50,000 air miles, 15 back-to-backs, no baseball series. Why? Why one team out of 30? In 2 years now, the same team. That's a competitive disadvantage. It makes no sense on any level.
Well, why do you think that is?
Hey, this is above my pay grade. I just observe.
Yeah.
You got takes, you know, though, Bob. I mean, you did this for 25 years.
I'd be hopping mad about it. You know, but that's what, see what happens is this is the media ecosystem. You know, oh, it's excuses. No, it's not. When teams fly way more thousands of air miles and have way more back-to-backs and are playing games at 8:45 at night and trying to play again the next day at 7 at the end of a six-game road trip, that's not an excuse. That's reality. That's reality. Like, I'd have someone who's an accountant fly with us on that trip and tell me how much energy you got the next day to do your job.
Mm. Math is hard,
you know,
too.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
These are things that matter. You know, I mean, look at how many guys did not play on the Thursday before the All-Star break on teams all around the league that didn't play. Yep. And that's where you appreciate Steph and Draymond and Jimmy Butler and those guys playing, because they're playing for their lives right now. They're playing to get into the postseason, to hopefully get that one Ernie Shavers puncher's chance to do something good again.
No,
you know, I mean, and Steve's talked about it. Other people talked about it. Start the season a week earlier. Get rid of so many of these back-to-backs and this absolutely stupid travel. We're going to Orlando. What's the city closest to Orlando on this next road trip? It's Miami, right?
Yeah, with the team,
we're not playing
Miami
on that trip.
No? Huh.
Why is that?
Well, you get to go to Miami after Atlanta. That's kind of close.
No, that's after we come back to the West Coast. We're going to go back to Atlanta and Miami.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I got a cool idea. How about playing Atlanta, Orlando, Miami, at Charlotte all on the same trip? Maybe that would make some more sense.
New York and Brooklyn right next to each other next week.
Yeah,
Bob.
New York and Brooklyn.
You're
right
welcome.
Near Orlando,
yeah.
Last time I checked. Yeah.
Well, and Charlotte, too. Yeah. Well, you go Orlando, what, Philly, Bob, back to Charlotte, and then up to New York for a couple.
No, to your point, Bob, you know what? Like, I would think that if I'm a fan listening to this conversation right now, what's going through my head is, this is the Golden State Warriors. Like, you have so many people in that building who have so much clout in the NBA, and this is not brand new, so why haven't presumably phone calls been made to discuss this? Or why haven't
we
they
had
worked?
All the people here for the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Did anyone ask the league why the Warriors are the only team in the league that hasn't had a baseball series each of the last two seasons?
Well, I guess my question is, has Joe Lacob like called and screamed?
I observe.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my job.
No, I get it. I get it.
Everybody has their lane. I'm staying in my lane.
Fair enough. Bob Fitzgerald with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Bob, what about this? The answer from Steve Kerr about blending Kuminga with Butler was really interesting yesterday. And you've been very clear through the years of don't worry about who starts the game.
Right.
But my question is, can you maybe finish the game? Like, is there an avenue to Green, Kuminga, Butler, and Steph with extended minutes at any given time in games, at least to start, in your mind?
Well, do we have a lead at the end of the game so they're fouling and I have to have good free throwers on the floor?
Maybe. I mean, you hope.
Are they trapping in the backcourt and I have to have a secondary ball handler besides Steph?
So are you saying it would be kind of night to night?
I'm just saying depending on the situation. You know, if we're finishing a game, look, my dog's even barking about that.
No, whenever this happens, we need the dog's name, age, and then the weirdest thing that they do.
In the breed.
Well, that's Rockne. He's a beagle who's 12 years old, and someone's walking a German Shepherd in front of our house. So
that's it.
He's losing his mind.
Okay.
That's
all right.
A beagle looking for a piece of a bigger dog. I love that.
He barks during Notre Dame games when they score touchdowns.
Yeah, Rockne.
Yeah, Rockne and then his buddy Louie are both – They're roaming the perimeter, checking out the front of the deal. But
it sounds like Draymond when Gobert walks by.
No, but to your point, Mark, like finishing games, it's all going to be who are you playing and what are you trying to do? Like if you're going to play a San Antonio and now they have De'Aaron Fox and they have Chris Paul, I can't just have Steph out there and not have Pajemski out there. You know what I'm saying? And if they're going to foul, I mean, I love Kuminga, but he's not a great free throw shooter. So if I have Draymond on the floor, that's the one guy they're going to foul. I'm not going to put a second guy they can foul on the floor at the same time. And then if they're going to trap in the backcourt, I'm going to need a second ball handler, maybe even a third ball handler. And Kuminga's not going to bring it up against pressure. That's not what he does. But But now if it's a one-point game and I need a bucket or a tie game and we're in the bonus and I can clear a side or I can run a two-man game with Kuminga and maybe get him downhill on a weaker defender, then he's going to be in the game. So it's the same thing. Like, you might even sub GP2 back and forth, too, if you need just a defensive stop and you've got, like, a Luka Doncic that, you know, you've got a guard for one sequence. So I think the finishing lineup, you know, Steph will always be out there, Draymond will always be out there, and Butler will be always be out there, but the rest of the stuff's kind of fungible depending on who you're playing and then time, score, and situation.
Fitz, since plane flights came up in this conversation, I'm curious to know what you observed over the last couple of weeks with Jimmy on the plane, especially because he spoke publicly about how much he enjoys Draymond Green and playing dominoes with him and whatnot. Like, what are you observing in terms of the team chemistry on the plane since Jimmy arrived?
I think he's fit right in with the mix. I mean, he's at the area where Steph and Draymond and the big guys hang out, and, you know, whether it's cards or dominoes or whatever, he's right where he should be as far as, you know, one of the most accomplished guys on the team. And chemistry-wise, I think all the elite players kind of know each other or been around each other a little bit. And so they know they're the tip of the spear. They're the main guys. So I think from that end, you know, aspect, and also I think Jimmy was very happy to, you know, get an extension and be here. And so now it's a very clear, I think Mike Dunleavy's talked about it and Joe's talked about it, kind of picking a path, picking a timeline. Right now you have Steph for 2 years and Draymond for 2 years and Jimmy for 2 years. And you have a very clear kind of, these are your best players, and this is the direction you're going at, you know, as a team. So I think that's been good for a lot of guys. And Butler, because he hadn't played, you know, for all the reasons in Miami or whatever reasons, I'm not privy to any of them, but he was ready to go. I mean, I think, you know, he said, oh, I was tired. It's like, if that's tired, Jimmy Butler, give me that guy all day, because he was terrific and has been terrific in a Warrior uniform.
One guy we're hoping will be terrific is Jonathan Kuminga, and you obviously didn't and couldn't mention him in the future plans, but what do you think about the future plans are for Jonathan Kuminga, and do you think that he'll come out and start to press a little bit knowing that it's a contract waiting for him?
I have no idea on that. I mean, this is such a lengthy injury. It's going to be basically 2 months. And so, you know, how a young guy responds to coming back from an injury is probably different than a veteran. So I've been so impressed with how well Pajemski has played after his abdominal. I mean, almost just blown away by how good Brandon has played. And I'm hoping the same for JK. So I think the summer stuff will be dealt with in the summer. You know, these guys right now, they don't really play with that kind of stuff on their mind. You know, it's for the media and agents and other stuff to talk about. But, you know, I would think it's in JK's interest to play well, and obviously in the Warriors' interest to play well. And team success always seems to, you know, have people be rewarded for that. That's been kind of the Warrior way. So I think if there's good team success, then that's usually when the checkbook comes out for everybody.
Fitz, real quick on tomorrow night, have you had a chance to look at anything Kings-related since De'Aaron Fox left to kind of get a gauge on who they are now?
I tell you what, I like that team, and the guy that doesn't get enough love, I think Warrior fans know because he's a killer, Malik Monk is just something else.
Yep.
I mean, and I said it publicly too, I thought Sabonis should have been an all-star. I don't know how. I mean, Domantas Sabonis is just a double-double metronome. You know, I know the Kings record wasn't good enough for whatever they want to use for that, but Sabonis to me is so good and so consistent. They pick up Valanciunas as a backup, which is a perfect backup big for them. And then they're playing killers. I mean, Malik Monk with DeRozan, with Zach LaVine. I mean, they are talented and playing in there. That's one of the great home courts now we have in the NBA. So that's a monster situation, and that is another game where the Warriors had a big lead. Now, that lead was earlier. It was in the first half. They had a double-digit lead, and the Kings just outplayed them. But Malik Monk, he kills the Warriors.
Yep.
And so I kind of look at him as the barometer guy. When if he's going and Keegan Murray is making shots, and what Doug Christie has done is what Spoelstra has done and what Rick Carlisle's done and Budenholzer. The guys that know the league, they just put seven guys on Steph and dare somebody else to beat you. And that's what he had Keegan Murray. I mean, Steph went to start his car after the game. I think Keegan Murray was in the passenger seat. I mean, the guy just never left him the entire time, that whole game in Sacramento. So having Jimmy Butler will be different is that, okay, you want to slant and sell out everything against Steph? Well, let's see if Jimmy Butler and friends, you know, can make you pay for that. But, man, Keegan Murray did a tremendous job on Curry, you know, and then they, you know, he's not there anymore, but they used to put Davion Mitchell and other guys where they don't care what else you're doing in the game. Wherever Steph goes, face guard him, hold him, grab him, guard him, just never leave him, and see if the Warriors have enough from somebody else. And so that's what I've been impressed with the Kings. But Malik Monk hits his first couple shots, you just run and hide because you're like, God, this guy's going for 25 again.
Yep. Yep.
And he gets that building going, and he's super energetic. And so Kings road games are tough, man. This is a huge game because coming out of the break, you've got all these tiebreakers and other things you're looking at. But, you know, are you going to build? You got Dallas Sunday and then Charlotte Tuesday, and you're back on the road again. So these first couple games – you know, at SAC and then home for Andre's retirement ceremony, you know, on noon game, and then the retirement ceremonies after it this is really going to be an incredible next couple days for the Dubs.
Yeah, no, they're jumping right into the fire, absolutely. All right, Fitz, we'll be watching. Thanks so much, man. Great to have you.
Always. And just ask Steve. Bob from the Peninsula wants to know when Kuminga comes back. Maybe a backdoor lob play once in a while.
Okay.
Yep. Bob, see what he says.
You don't want Bob in Foster City. Bob from the Peninsula. That's the name.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. We got it. Assignment taken.
All right, guys. All right, Bob. Hear your voices.
Yep. Yours too.
Good. Thanks, right, Bob.
There he is. That's Bob Fitzgerald. He announces Warrior games on the old television.
Yeah, the old TV. And one thing that you may not know unless you're paying close attention is when they are broadcasting after a win, they don't wear ties. And when they're broadcasting after a loss, they wear neckties.
Oh, I didn't notice Kalana. That. Seriously?
Yep.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah. It's a thing that they do. So coming off a win, they will go no necktie. And then if they come off a loss, they have to wear a tie.
I don't think that they should ever have to wear a tie.
I think it might be something that Bob and Jim Barnett started a long time ago, and it carries over.
If they want to. I just think, I love what the NBA coaches do now.
Right. Do you remember when they used to all wear suits?
Right, yes. Can we not be so formal?
Right.
I'm cruising around the city and watching so many people wearing suits where it's like, why?
Yeah.
Why do you have to wear a suit?
What about the manager in baseball? Do we still need them in a uniform?
Yes, because that's funny.
Okay.
That's funny. I loved watching Boats waddle out to the mound, stirrups on.
Right. And cleats. Anyway,
we're going to make a change. Steve Kerr's joining us in 18 minutes. How about that, kids and campers? You can get your phone calls in until then at 888-957-9570. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good, Willard and Dibs.
Yeah. Okay. I'm in.
Dub Nation, it's Kevon Looney. Catch my head coach, Steve Kerr, with Willard and Dibs each and every week right here on 95.7 The Game.
This is a little off subject. Steve Kerr in 11 minutes. But I want to throw it at you because of the direction the conversation with Bob Fitzgerald went, at least for a portion of it. Genuine question here. The Golden State Warriors are on the back end now of a just completed, or some still believe maybe there's a little gas in the tank, but a dynasty. They've just been through a dynasty. Won four championships, went to the finals two other times. This is an absolute unbelievable run, and have arrived at now the highest valuation. They're right up there with the highest valuations in all of sports. The Yankees and the Lakers and the Warriors and the Cowboys, they're all in this same bucket, right? So the Warriors are literally as important as they come, and their star is, alongside LeBron James, the face of the league for a good decade and a half, just hosted the All-Star Game, won the MVP award, and depending on your age bracket, he may actually just be flat the face of the league. I'd argue if you're a kid, Steph Curry is a way bigger deal than LeBron James. Okay? All those things are true. Yet it seems like a lot of us fans, and maybe even employees, feel like the league has it out for the Warriors. Steph Curry never gets any calls.
Right, right. Yeah.
The only team in the whole world who doesn't get, as he put it, a baseball series, which is, for those of you who still didn't catch the reference, it's
I wasn't getting it.
I thought I knew what he was talking about, and they did have some, but they're always here. In other words, they're only helpful if you're the road team. New Orleans did one here earlier this
year. They had two this year.
Yeah, where they came here, they stayed, and then played again.
Yep, the stay and play.
A couple days. Yeah, I've always liked that.
New Orleans and Minnesota also.
Okay, so the Warriors apparently, according to Bob, the only team in the NBA that doesn't get any of those on the road. Like,
I didn't get that point from him.
Is that a thing?
I mean,
yeah. Is that like... And I mean this in two ways. Is that actually a valid thought? And the second part is, are there Warrior fans who do believe that? Because I do hear this a lot. Well, it's almost like when Augusta had to tiger-proof the course.
Sure.
When somebody wins too much, we got to turn the tables against them. I've always been under the impression it's the opposite. The conspiracy theorists out there will tell you, right, that the Lakers get automatically put into the finals when they're playing the Sacramento Kings or the Portland Blazers in a playoff series. Does anybody think that the league has it out for the Golden State Warriors?
Well, I don't. I can't speak to the general Warriors population. I do think that Warrior fans and, you know, Warrior broadcasters, and the one that we just spoke to in particular, have been pretty vocal and vehement about Steph Curry not getting the level of whistles that other superstars get. I think there's something to it. I don't believe that there's a bigger conspiracy around it. I think that the way Steph plays when he goes to the basket is not the kind of action that normally would draw fouls. Like LeBron James goes in there and he's physical and there's going to be a lot more contact that he initiates and that he's able to play through. Steph gets contacted and a lot of times it's not called. I don't think that it's a league mandate against him. This idea about no baseball series, no back-to-backs on the road, that's something that I guess I could examine and look at it and see how often it actually happens. But for me, the bigger issue, and he made this point as well, is the way you go about traveling where, yeah, he's right. If you have a road trip, why not have it be Atlanta, Charlotte, Miami, and Orlando instead of this bippity-bopping around and you come home and then you got to go all the way back to Miami? Well, that sort of conglomerating of road destinations makes a lot of sense for every team.
It makes a lot of sense, but I can only imagine the puzzle that is. And you imagine, right?
You're sitting down. Well, they put this all into a computer.
Right, all of the teams, but it's not just a computer because you got to know, like, what, and maybe I do think most of these, if not all of these arenas, that's what comes first is the basketball schedule, but there's something at Chase Center every night.
Yeah.
So, like, you got to, right? You got to figure out when Demi Lovato is going to be in town.
Is she coming?
I don't know. Right? when is Dave Chappelle here? And then figure out kind of where it goes from there. I'm only saying that because it's probably a little bit more complex than we make it. But the other side of the coin is these are very, very valid points while we're sitting here screaming and yelling and complaining about stars not playing. And so to that end, and the idea that you need to meet people where they are, and I'm a huge believer in this. Honestly, the example I always give you is like you can tell your kids to put the phone down or you can figure out a different way to do this if you want. Because guess what? The kids aren't going to put the phone down. They're not going to put the phone down. So you can fight this or work with it. And if you're the NBA, and I know that they've done some things already and everyone wants to go, shorten the schedule. Yeah,
nah.
Steve's right. You probably do need to do two things, and that is kind of tweak the way you travel, and if there are more stay-and-plays, that's fine. But, yeah, you probably need to actually not shorten the season. You need to lengthen it, not with more
games. Same number of games, over a longer period of time.
More calendar. And if the players fight that, well, bleep you. Then you're in, to me, an empowered place to say, well, now we're spending money for nothing too often.
Yes, you're and they've already done that. Like, the season used to start on Halloween, and now it starts a week earlier. Yes. So go ahead and move it another week back and, you know, get October 15th would be a good time to actually start the regular season. Then you'd have fewer back-to-backs and all the rest of it. I don't think that it would solve the problem of players not playing, because the science now is so good that, you know, it tells you when a guy should not play based on all of the advanced analytics that you do and your team, your medical team, and all the rest of it. Rick Celebrini and his whole group, they run all the numbers on output and fitness and all the rest of it. And so there are times where these guys just won't play anyway.
For sure.
Even if made it 82 games over 11 months, there still would be load management.
For sure there would. But he's got a point, for instance, on what happened right before the All-Star break. It really was stunning. If you look around the league, and the Warriors, I guess, you know, some people won't want to do this, but you do have to give them credit, or at least take the message of what they did in that game at Houston, because they knew they needed to go out there and win it. Because any other team would have sat all their players, and the reason I know that is because all the other teams did sit their players, and those teams had more rest than the Warriors did in that particular case, because the Warriors played a game that started at 8:45 in Dallas,
yeah,
and then traveled to play another game. If you look around the league, nobody played. Nobody played on those back-to-backs. If you played last Thursday, it was automatically a back-to-back because the whole league played on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And there were so many people sitting out those games, and the Warriors didn't. So give them a little nod for that. But on the other side, like, that wasn't load management. That was like a protest against the scheduling. This is essentially what it was. So, yeah, you're probably going to have to meet them halfway. And I don't think they've fully done that yet.
They haven't, and I don't know if they will. And I'm just looking at some of the other games played that night. And OKC, they did play everybody. You had Shea played. He played both ends of those back-to-backs. And because you mentioned it, everybody played on February 12th. The entire association, and then a small handful of teams played the next night. So all those teams, you're right, would be on a back-to-back, and OKC at least was, they were home for the first one, and they had to travel to Minnesota, and so they were kind of in a similar spot, and they went out there and they lost to Minnesota, but Shea played 34 minutes, and Holmgren played a bunch, and Lou Dort and the rest of them. But your point is well taken in that, and this is kind of what Bob was saying, if the Warriors are a marquee franchise, and they are,
yep,
why are you making it like this? And I understand you're going to have 29 national TV games. I think that was the number this year, thereabout. And that's going to make it so you play on Christmas and you play on a lot of these marquee spots. But at least make the travel somewhat sensible. Make it make sense.
Look, yeah, you're going to get a few gut punches. It's going to happen. Like, I think of the NFL last year around Christmas, where the Kansas City Chiefs, coming off back-to-back Super Bowl appearances, and as it turned out, another one on the way. What was it? I think they played three games in 11 days,
yep.
Right? Because of the Christmas Wednesday thing. And they were only maybe, I'm doing this from memory, but I feel like they were only 2-3 weeks removed from an overseas game or something along those lines. Their travel was crazy. And the amount of times that they had to play in a short period of time was big. And why? Because they're a marquee team. Because the Chiefs and Ravens were marquee teams. And so they had to do it. So you're going to get a few gut punches, and I think largely people will accept that for the most part. But if it feels like it's repeated over and over and over again, and you're not getting a break to go along with your gut punch, then A, they have a point, and B, at a certain point, if you're the league, I think you're kicking yourself in the shin. Because you're just not going to get what you want out of those games.
Exactly. You're basically telling teams, here's five or six games where we tell you you're probably not going to play your players. We're not going to see our marquee attractions. I'm looking at Kansas City. They played the 15th of December at Cleveland. 6 days later, home to Houston. 4 days later, at Pittsburgh. So, yeah, three games in 11 days. And the Niners this year had the biggest rest disparity, minus 20 days versus their opponents, and it was the biggest disparity in more than 20 years. So if I'm the Niners and that happens to me again, or if I'm the Warriors and the schedule comes out next year and I've got 15 back-to-backs and more funky travel, I'd be speaking up.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.